today. Now, about two, maybe it was 3 years ago, I was hosting a multicultural awards night in Sydney. And one of the major awards went to a group that goes out to our schools, showing that no matter what your religious beliefs, no matter what your background, we can all get on together. And ever since, and every time I've been on air here at 2UE, I have meant to follow that awards night up. And then several months ago, in Balmain, in fact, I was standing on the footpath waiting for my wife to finish some shopping, and I struck up a casual conversation with two young Muslim women, Raja and Nora. And I guess we talked for about 20 minutes. And in the process, I mentioned this multi-faith project. Well, Raja and Nora went off, and they did all the research for me. They tracked the group down, which leads me to my guests. In Brisbane, and on the phone, is Ahmad, I've got to get this right, Ahmad Abu Ghazali.
Correct.
Ghazali. He's an imam, a teacher, an outreach worker. In Perth, on the phone, is Jared McKenna. Jared is a preacher, a Christian preacher, and a peace worker. And with me in the studio is Rabbi Zalman Castell. He's also, as well as a rabbi, he's a teacher. And he is the national director of a group called Together for Humanity. And I'm bringing them all together because I think on this Friday morning, when we hear so much about disharmony in our community and so much about fighting and an inability to get on with each other, I think this is a great story. Now, I think I've got them all up. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning, sir.
Rabbi, it's a pleasure. Let me start with you. Tell me about the organization. When did it begin? How did it begin?
We began in about 2002. There was a Catholic layperson who was feeling frustrated with the difference between all the good stuff we talk about and some of the behavior in the community. And he got me thinking. We then teamed up with a Muslim young man, a filmmaker, and it just grew from there. Together for Humanity itself has been operating in this particular form as a multi-faith organization since 2006.
Okay, now, Jared, you're in Perth.
I am, sir, yeah.
Now, tell me, how did you get involved? Why did you get involved?
I learned primarily through the great publicity and great things people were saying about Together for Humanity. I run a program called Empowering Peacemakers in Your Community, where we do nonviolence training in schools. And some people who knew both Zalman and myself said, you two should get together. So I was in Sydney running some workshops, and that happened, and it was just a kind of natural fit that this fantastic work and what we were doing fit to well together, so it just kind of evolved from there.
And Ahmad, in Brisbane, I guess, and all of you come in here when you want to talk, incidentally, but I guess your main message is that religion doesn't have to divide us. How do you get that message across when you go out in groups to speak to school students?
Well, I think, first of all, the way we interact with one another, the students can see that we, you know, are working in harmony, and there's that respect there for our beliefs and our differences. Like, there are differences, but we agree to disagree in the most conducive manner. And what I noticed was, once you talk to the students, all of a sudden you're no longer just a Muslim or a Jew or, you know, an African or whatever. It humanizes the experience. The moment they talk to you, then they realize, hey, he's just like us. I mean, and it changes their perception straight away. So it's such a great thing to do because you see the results straight away.
So, Rabbi, I mean, what you're doing is you're standing there in front of a school assembly or a school classroom, and you're saying to them, look at us. I'm a rabbi. He's an imam. He's a Christian. And we can get on together. So can you.
Absolutely. That's the implied message, and that's the most powerful message. We also do other things to make them think. Like, we ask them to guess which of us is Australian. And you'll be amazed by how many kids think that to be Australian, you've got to be white, and you've got to...
Correct.
Yeah, this full stereotype. It's amazing that persists.
Yeah. Ahmad, you...
Yeah.
Come in here.
Well, I've seen it all the time. I mean, when we ask them to decide or determine who is not Australian out of the group, most of the time, I mean, I'm used to being outside now, put in a box, basically, because once they say you're not an Aussie, then we have a box, a virtual box, and we tell them how it feels to be boxified, basically.
How does it feel?
Well, it feels really, it feels it feels terrible. I mean, when you don't feel, I mean, it's easy not to have that sense of belonging.
Because your background's Palestinian.
That's right. I grew up in Jordan as well, and I mean, I've been to different places, but I haven't been here for a long time, but I truly feel now, I do feel this is home to me. So when we talk to them about the different reasons, and then we eliminate these factors, like the way you look, the way you speak, your faith, et cetera, et cetera. Yes.
And I guess you go collectively, you go into schools from with various, not just religious backgrounds, but demographic backgrounds and societal backgrounds.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we worked in a small town outside of Darwin just a few weeks ago, and we had with us an elder from Arnhem Land, and the effect of having someone from their own group represented among, you know, the world religions, and actually bringing it all together, making it make sense, showing the students how, in their tradition, there's caring and responsibility, and you know, all these things that, in a Western perspective, we might use slightly different words, but actually mean the same thing. There's slight differences, like we want to talk about leadership, and leadership actually didn't add up for Auntie Ellen.
So you let them let the kids set the agenda.
Yes, to a significant extent, the kids set the agenda. So we'll do a lot of exercises where we deal with resources, and you give different groups, make fictional communities, and they name themselves, and you give them some things to work with. And then we ask them to think about the way that we use our stuff and the way we interact with each other. And they'll come up with a whole range of possibilities that we never thought about. And yeah, to a significant extent, the agenda is set by the kids, but also by the participants. If we've got an Aboriginal person with us, it'll take it off into a different direction, say if we've got an African.
Jared, you're listening to Jared McKenna, is a Christian preacher and a peace worker. He's on the phone line from Perth. Jared, what's the most common question you get asked when the three of you walk in?
It's almost like a joke sometime. A rabbi, an imam, and a Christian.
Yes, did you hear the one about?
Yeah, exactly. It really depends on kids. And the kids, I mean, the kids see through a lot of some of the interfaith conversation happens at a level which tries to minimise all the differences, and the kids see through that. They know that there are things that are important to our stories that are vastly different, that the Torah is the final word of God, is a different truth to Muhammad is God's final prophet, is a different truth to in Jesus God was pleased to have his fullness dwell. Mm-hmm. And so we don't minimalize those things. And so when kids ask questions, we talk openly from our own perspective about how out of our own faith, out of our own narratives, mm-hmm. this work is motivated by the best that is in our stories. And the kids go straight to the heart of that. I mean, we were running a program in Perth Synagogue, were kind to host us, and we had the Australian Islamic College, Carmel Baptist, Carey Baptist College, with Carmel Orthodox Jewish School, all the kids in together. And we opened up the question time, and one of the first questions from the kids was, what do you all think of the bombing of Gaza?
Hey, good question. Out of the mouths of babes.
Exactly. To which, you know, our response is, any more questions? No, not quite. But that uncomfortable silence, and yet being able to open that up in a way where we model to the kids, to the students, Steve, that we're able to discuss these hard issues in ways that actually speak of where we're coming from without compromising where we're coming from, and yet embody the kind of listening and acceptance and deep listening that leads to understanding instead of a shallow listening which increases the conflict.
I've got a question for Ahmed the Imam on the phone in Brisbane. Is it working?
I think it is. Look, when I just when I got back from Jordan recently after the conflict in Gaza, I had a long meeting with Zalman. And I had to express all my concerns and all my feelings, and it was really healing, you know, that you could speak to a Jewish person about your feelings, and that person is responsive and recognizing and acknowledging your feelings. So I think we are, you know, communicating and we're having a dialogue, and it reflects on our relationship and on the way we live in Australia. I just don't see the point in bringing conflicts to this country. We've all come, you know, to seek, you know, better opportunities and a better life.
Rabbi Castell, let me ask you, because you set the foundation up, am I right, in 2002?
In 2000, it was my initiative, but certainly there was active participation from the others as well.
Okay. What do you take away from sessions like this?
Yeah, good question. I mean, firstly, I want to respond briefly to your question about is it working. We had surveyed attitudes before participation, and then we got those same kids back 6 months later. We asked them the same questions. And with some of these kids were Lebanese or other Arabic backgrounds. Some of them were Jewish. And the shift in attitude was maintained over 6 months, even though Gaza had happened in between. So the vast majority of improvement in perception of each other had continued. What I get out of it is first of all, I had a lot of fun. But more deeply, I just feel like this is my calling. Like I can contribute something amazing in the world that actually has some real powerful consequences, both for people from majority communities to be more open, but also for minorities to feel like they're more accepted, like and you know that they can feel hopeful, they feel like they belong, and they could participate instead of being frozen out. So I feel like I'm creating a better peaceful environment for myself and for the participants of both groups.
Yeah. What's the biggest issue you've all tackled? I don't care. I don't mind who answers the question. What about Ahmed? You start in Brisbane.
I think, look, when you are asked about certain questions, I mean, what they see in the media, and I've learned not to get offended because I would put my shoes in the Australian person who sees these things through the media. And I'm not saying there isn't a misrepresentation, but it's important to be open and to answer these questions openly, really. So there are some really challenging questions that they ask about things that are happening in different parts of the world. And I've learned to say, look, this is the situation there, but compare that situation to our situation here and see how Muslims are behaving here.
All right, let me throw at you a couple of questions I know that people listening to us will probably be asking themselves. How can, for example, and I know we have one caller who wants to know, for example, how can real integration and real harmony occur if certain facilities, for example, can't be used if Muslims are there? And will, for example, can you conduct one of these sessions, for want of a better, in a Muslim temple, in a Muslim mosque?
Yeah, look, we actually have run training in a Muslim mosque. We've had fantastic support from quite a few Muslim schools around the country. So the conservatives are there in all the faiths.
So you meet resistance. There is resistance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the implied message by standing together is that we are all good people and we all deserve respect, which threatens some people who like to think that their way is the only way and that they are better than others.
Somebody's saying, is that you, Peter, or is that Ahmed saying yes and agreeing?
Yes, I do agree, because when I was teaching at the Islamic College, we had these concerns when we wanted to host a Jewish rabbi or speaker to on a harmony day. So there was a lot of unease with some students because of conflict overseas, basically. So yes, it is challenging. It's definitely challenging.
How much of the resistance is driven by the older generation, the parents, rather than the child?
Most of it is because of the old generation.
Peter, do you experience that?
Yes, I still do. And it's important to acknowledge these concerns, as I said earlier. You know, we're not just trying to turn a blind eye and say, look, there's never been a problem. But it's important to speak about our experience here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I said Peter. Jared, do you agree?
Yes, so I think, to draw on my own tradition, Martin Luther King would talk about how violence is the language of the unheard. And when you meet any resistance, my question is, well, what's going on underneath that? And I think for a previous generation, the only time that a lot of interfaith conversations happened where it was a flat kind of conversation that says, look, All truths are the same. It's just different symbols. If you're happy to compromise the core of what's at your face and look at the things that we might share in common. And I think there is still quite a bit of resistance to that. But I think Together for Humanity allows a space where people don't have to compromise what's central to them. That, in fact, what is central to their faith, people aren't asked to water down, but hold it in such a way where it can be open to be explored with others. And I think once we're able to share that, Steve, people really respect that, that this isn't a group of people who don't really hold to their faith, who have kind of walked away from their faith, but hold it in some loose identity sense and then are happy to get together. But it's actually because our faith is so important to us that it's coming out of the motivation of our faith that we actually want to work together, that we want to work for justice and peace and for a more harmonious Australia.
Rabbi, what sort of support do you get from the various faiths? You mentioned a couple of minutes ago that you've been up in Darwin. Plane fares cost money. So what sort of support are you getting from the various faiths and indeed from government, if any?
Yeah, the Australian government has been very powerful in, very strong in its support in setting up the foundation and actually helping it get established. So we've got $277,000 from the Australian government's Department of Immigration and Citizenship. We've also got funding from the Queensland state government and the New South Wales government over the years. At the moment, we're actually coming to the end of our funding, and we're going to need to look to the community. And we've certainly got some individual donors, but we haven't got the word out to the communities that if we want to have participation and social cohesion and inclusion and justice, everyone's going to need to step up to the plate. So we've got to get that message out there. The government has done a lot, and hopefully it will continue to do more, and anyone who's got any influence, lobby like crazy. But apart from the government, the communities have got to step up to the plate and in terms of time and money if this is going to be a priority.
Okay, so tell me this. Maybe we've got school principals listening to us talk this morning, and I can't tell you how pleased I am I've finally been able to get the three of you together on the program. But what happens if there's a headmistress listening who says, what a great idea, I want these guys to come and talk at my school. How do they do it? What do they do? Who do they contact?
Okay, well, they can go to our website, www.togetherforhumanity, and that's for as F-O-R, the word, that's one word, togetherforhumanity.org.au. At the moment, send us an email and let us know. We hope to be able to do some free presentations, as we have been doing in the past, depending on what contributions we get. Some schools simply don't have the money. In other cases, we're probably going to need to look at charging schools for transport, and sometimes some of the best people, because we've got to be very careful when talking about religion in schools. We've got to respect the faiths, we've got to respect the school's requirements, and we've got to get the really top people, and sometimes they can volunteer and sometimes they can't. So get in contact with us if you want to help, if you want to participate, if you want to invite us. And also, by the way, at City to Surf, we're going to have a team of diverse people, and Steve, you're invited as well, all kind of people moving together.
What a great idea.
Yeah, walk, run. So get onto that website and join the team Together for Humanity. You can donate, you can walk, you can run, you can skateboard, you can fly, you can walk on water. Please don't do that publicly, though.
Gentlemen, can I thank you all for coming into the various studios and on the phone. As I said, I can't tell you how pleased I am to have been able to do this on the program this time around. Together for Humanity, keep up the great work. Terrific.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.